Welcome to the Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast, the show in which we explore different ways of aligning our energy, activities, inner work, and daily life with Earth's natural flow and the Sky Clock's astrological rhythm. I'm Anna, a passionate astrology enthusiast and natural cycles explorer, and I invite you to join me on this journey where I will try to create a more balanced, graceful, and joyful living using the timeless wisdom of a sky clock. Hello, beautiful friends and strangers. This is Anna, and welcome to the next episode of Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast. In episode number 3, we are going to talk about Cancer energy, Cancer season, and Cancer new moon. That is about to happen in literally 12 hours. And that Cancer new moon was a very direct pusher and a motivation for me to finally go down to the studio, sit behind or in front, depending how you look at it, the microphone, and record this brief introduction to what is about to happen and how can we use it in our lives. If you have listened to the previous episode, episode number 2, where I made a very brief introduction to the zodiac signs, you probably heard me promising something or at least saying that I'm going to do episodes about the Gemini season. That unfortunately did not happen. Gemini season was an actual Gemini season for me, with a lot of ups and downs, a lot of changes, a lot of hectic energy, and difficulties with focusing on completing one thing after another. So apologies for that, but at least you can say I lived according to the energy of the season. We will definitely have more chances to talk about Gemini, so I am not that upset about this. But if you feel like you would like to learn more about Gemini, please visit my website flowingwiththeskyclock.com. I actually have made a brief overview of the Gemini sign and what is the energy of the Gemini season. But coming back to the actual topic of today's podcast, we are going to talk about Cancer. Cancer sign for me is extremely intriguing and interesting for two reasons. One is that my firstborn, my daughter, is a Cancer sun, and I always found difficulties with understanding how is she operating in this 3D world, having the Cancer personality vibe attached to her. But then there is another reason. I actually also have a Cancer in my birth chart, and not just anywhere. That's my rising sign. And for the good part of my life, I had completely ignored that. I was always identifying with my Aquarius sun, and Cancer was just a complete afterthought. And I'm very sorry, Cancer. I'm going to hug you today and I'm going to say I'm sorry, because I see more and more Cancer personality traits in me, in my behavior. And that's also a really great way for me to reach out to my Cancer part and embrace it a little bit more. So, let's start. As you might remember from the previous episode, if you haven't listened, you won't lose that much. But I would also like to encourage you to go back, because then I actually explain why zodiac signs have this specific personality traits. It doesn't come from the moon, although in case of Cancer actually does. But that's an exemption, which I will explain. It doesn't come from a thin air. There is a kind of a language, a system of how we give those attributes to signs. And the system consists of elements, modalities, polarities, and planetary rulers. So every single sign has a specific element, modality, and polarity, and have a planetary ruler that is responsible for, quote unquote, giving that sign certain attributes. Cancer is a water sign, so we have arrived now to the full circle of elements, because if we would see this from the perspective of the Western astrology, the first zodiac sign is Aries, and you have a proof of that if you open any online horoscope. Aries is always the first one, so it is considered to be the first zodiac sign, and that's fire. Then we move to Taurus, which is earth. Then we move to Gemini, which is air. And then we move to Cancer, which is water. After Cancer, we have Leo, and we start the cycle again with fire. So now we are at that quote-unquote last element, if we look at it from this point of view. And we are diving into a magical realm of water signs. We have three water signs, because as you see, the cycle goes in fours. So the first from the four signs, it's the Cancer. Then in the other four quadruple group, the water sign is going to be Scorpio. And in the last quadruple group, it's going to be Pisces. So we have three water signs. And what they share between themselves is the, I would say, that the verb that you would describe them as, which is, I feel. Those are signs that are showing, manifesting, embodying the feelings of the human being. Why is that? Well, if we look at water, what do we see? We see this magical substance that gives us life. Magical substance that changes the state depending on the weather, on the temperature. If it's cold, it turns into ice. If the weather is in between, temperature is in between 1 degree to, let's say, 99, then it's still flowy. It's moving, it's liquid. And then above 100, it turns into steam. So practically disappears. Then it also falls from the clouds, which is magical, because you see this a cloud object in the sky, and then water falls down from it. It can also turn into hail. It has so many shapes and forms, and we experience them pretty much daily. Then water also have no shape. There is no inherent shape for the water. If you will leave infinitive amount of water, it will just spread and spread and spread until it will meet an obstacle. But if you pour it into something, or if you will put that obstacle, it will adjust its shape to it. It will get a shape of the thing it meets. That's why water signs are considered to be highly adaptable and highly empathic, because they can take a shape of anything they meet. They can understand it just by being that shape, right? Last but not least, water is also an element that can penetrate through other elements. Water can go through earth. That's why we actually have things growing from earth, thank God. Water can penetrate the materials. Sooner or later, it will penetrate the wood, even the stones, after hundreds and hundreds or thousands of years. If we throw something in water, water will change it. It will either dissolve it or erode it. It will do something to it. But water is that element that is able to penetrate, dissolve, and change everything that it comes in a contact with. And due to that, water signs are perceived to be, as I said, very empathic, also very intuitive, because they can just adjust to everything and feel everything through their being of being that liquid magical creature. And in some cases, they actually are considered to have at least the predispositions to be psychics because of that ability to connect with everything. So that's the first feature of the water. Then we move to the modalities. We have three modalities: the cardinal modality, the fixed modality, and the mutable one. And Cancer is a cardinal sign, which means it's a sign of starters, initiators, pioneers, those who go and do something new and then inspire the rest to follow. If we put together the element of water and that mode of starting things, what do we get? We actually get a stream, a spring, a river, a fresh source of water bursting out from the earth. There is actually a different way of looking at the zodiac signs. And it's an old Hellenistic method of perceiving them in a different order than we normally do. Well, the order is the same, but as we now have this common understanding that Aries is the first sign in a zodiac, back in a day, in a Hellenistic tradition, it was Cancer. The legend or the explanation was that when the universe was created and the birth chart of the universe was casted, Cancer was the rising sign. And that's because of that beaming source of water that comes out from the earth. Because if we look at civilizations and how they were created, it is said that the tribes of people were traveling through different lands until they found a stable source of fresh water. And that is a river, a spring, or a stream. And they built around it so they are sure they will always have a fresh water to drink. And they will also have water to, maintain the animals and farming and all that kind of stuff. And this is where Cancer gets its attributes of life giver. And it's actually associated with an archetype of a mother, because that initial spring stream of water is the life-giving force for humanity. That's how it's being perceived. Then we also have a polarity. So Cancer is a feminine sign, which means it's nurturing by nature, passive, receptive, accommodating, empathic. So that only amps up all the things that I already said to you. And last but not least, Cancer is ruled by a moon. And moon is probably the most ever-changing body on the sky that we see. Within only 29 days, there is no moon. Then there is a full moon. Then we see it in different waxing and waning configurations. It's enough to just go and do the moon gazing for a couple of days to realize how much moon is changing. And it goes through that cycle every 29 days. That's why it is said that Cancer is very emotional and can change the mood very fast from being, let's say, super happy to being super sad, because of the fact that the moon, the ruler, is also changing constantly. And moon in astrology symbolizes the emotions. So actually it's an emotional roller coaster. So the emotional roller coaster is ruling Cancer. So imagine that. And that's the energy we are dealing with. A very emotional, very empathic, very nurturing energy of this season. So Cancer started already 2 weeks ago together with the summer solstice, and there was the third element, which was also the full moon in Capricorn. And you might have felt already that you are more emotional, that you maybe feel more need to take care of others and yourself, that you are definitely less intellectually stimulated, but you are rather go within to search for answers by relying on your intuition and feelings. You might have a lot of inner turmoils or inner thoughts or challenges within you, because that's the energy of the season. Now we are halfway there. We are halfway into the Cancer, and it's still not too late to start to work with several of the themes that Cancer represents. So first and foremost, Cancer, as I said, would have, if we would choose an archetype, a female archetype for a Cancer sign, that would be the mother, the great mother. And of course, it has both sides, the shadow side and the light side. But the light expression of the mother is that nurturing, nourishing energy, unconditional love and care for others. And it is quite fitting with the seasons we are in, with the season we are in, because surprisingly, it kind of fits our modern world. Cancer season usually starts at the point when the school is out for summer. And we, if we are parents, we are dealing with our children 24/7. We go together for holidays or we stay at home. Whatever we do, we can experience our children way more often and kind of in that kind of constant days and weeks to go by than when they are at school or we are at work. And also the summer holidays as such, it's the time that is usually spent within the family. And that can trigger a lot of love, but also a lot of challenges, because then we have to be on guard 24/7 with our kids, and we have to deal with their emotions as well, which are being stimulated by the Cancer season. So that motherhood topic, it's something to think about or work on during the Cancer season, and also the topic of nurturing and nourishment. And here it's very important to remember that it's not only about nurturing and nourishing other people, but also ourselves. Cancer invites us to figure out what are the best ways for us to feel nourished and nurtured, and how can we enable those ways to actually find their way to our life. So what can we do to feel more nurtured? Shall we change an attitude towards ourselves? How can we be mothers to ourselves? How can we look at ourselves just for a bit as we were the mother with unconditional love that would like to embrace that child we are? What would we give them? A break, a bit of peace, a time for themselves. What fits our soul? That is the question that Cancer season poses to us. Additionally, Cancer, due to the fact that it is associated with a mother, but also with a life-giving force and spring of life, the source, Cancer symbolizes home. So it is not very surprising that during the Cancer season, people are compelled to either buy a new house or move somewhere else or renovate the house, decorate the house they are in, make their house more like home. The home topic can also manifest in our questioning of where do I belong? Where is my home? Where is my closest family? Where are my roots? That is also something that can be happening within you. And if we come to that roots and ancestry, this together with the mother energy also many times compels us to think about our female ancestral line, thinking about our mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, going into this mode of trying to discover more about the females that came before us, that gave us life. That is also many times a topic that is being triggered within and topic that is worth to focus on in a Cancer season. And last but not least, what I want to add to the themes of Cancer is, of course, the emotions. This is a really great season for exploring your emotions, from things like, how can I express my emotions in a healthier and better way, to things like discovering your suppressed emotions or repressed emotions, and ways in which you can basically be more brave, have more audacity to show what you truly feel. And if I will have enough time, I will definitely record an additional episode when I will talk about Cancer season and how it can help us with reaching out to our emotional side and trying to either address or heal certain aspects of our emotional well-being. But you can find yourself being quite heightened emotionally during this period. And by heightened, I don't mean in a loud way. Please remember, Cancer is a mute animal, meaning Cancer is represented by a crab as a symbol, and crab is mute. So Cancer communicates non-verbally. So it doesn't have to mean that heightened emotions is, I don't know, crying and screaming. It means that you can feel more. You have a capacity to feel more and listen more to your intuition, feelings, and emotions. And also to be more receptive to the different emotional states. And that's okay. That's a part of the experience of the 12 zodiac seasons. So that's fully, fully okay. And if I'm here, then I will also mention, if you are interested in any experiments connected with telepathy, intuitive readings, or other things like this, yes, this is the season. Try it now, because the energy is very good for that. So now I hope that you got quite a good view on what Cancer is, what Cancer season is, what are the energies connected with that season. So I will now focus on the new moon in Cancer. But I guess before talking specifically about new moon in Cancer, it will be good to refresh our memory or get introduced to the new moon in general. So new moon is one of the 8 phases of a lunar cycle. If we look at the lunar cycle from the short perspective, because we can also talk about longer lunar cycles, let's talk about the one that we all experience, and that is the 29-ish days of a cycle when the moon goes from new, meaning we don't see it on the sky, through different phases to full, and then disappears and gets into nothingness again. That's the full lunar cycle. And the 8 phases are the new moon, and then we have the waxing crescent, first quarter. Then we have waxing gibbous, full moon, waning gibbous, last quarter moon, and we end up with the balsamic moon. So all those 8 phases are happening continuously. It is a cycle, so we get a new moon roughly every 29 days. That's why sometimes we have 13 new moons in a year, because if we count the cycles together, it is not equal to the months that we have in the calendar. So sometimes we have 13 new moons in 1 year. And new moon is when there is no moon. That's why it's new, but it's not there yet. New moon symbolizes that beginning of a cycle. So basically it's the fresh start. It's a clean slate. There's nothing than your wish, desire, and imagination, and you can imprint the next lunar cycle with your desire, with your goals, with your intentions, and try to wish them into reality or make them happen. That's why in the tradition of the astrology that looks into the cycles, this is the time to set up intentions. This is the time to plan your month. This is the time to dream. This is the time for wishful thinking, because this is a fresh, clean start that you were given by the lunar cycle, and you can use it in that way. It also requires a leap of faith and hope, because we don't see anything. If you go outside during the new moon, provided that the sky is not covered by clouds, you will not find the moon. The moon is not there. It's aligned perfectly with the sun, and it's covered by the shadow. So making any dreams, intentions, goals during the new moon requires a bit of hope. It's a bit of a leap of faith. And it can be stretching when you don't see what's in front of you, but it also can be very liberating because you don't have any limitations. You don't see anything, so there are no boundaries. So that is the magic of that period. There are two traditions that I came across regarding new moon intention settings or new moon wishes. The first one is that you shall do it on a spot. So as I mentioned, the new moon this month is going to happen on 6th of July, 57 minutes past midnight. So if you are very much into it, you can set up your alarm clock and start to make your wishes and all kind of things exactly on a point. But it is usually accepted that the 24 hours from the new moon, it is okay. It is the potent time. However, there is also a different tradition that treats the new moon phase as a phase that lasts 3 to 4 days. And that is based on the fact that the first 3 to 4 days after the new moon, you are not seeing the moon on the sky. So it's still considered to be a new moon. So if you are, if the second tradition speaks to you, you don't have to do it tomorrow on the 6th of July. You can wait till 8th or even 9th of July to set up your intentions, goals, or dreams. So how do we do it? There are different ways that you can do it. You can buy yourself a special notebook. I have a special little notebook where I try to write down all my new moon intentions, goals, and even dreams. So I have a certain record of what I have been wishing for, so I can also go back a year later and see what actually came out. If you are not a big fan of writing, you can also record yourself. If you are one of those people that record voicemails, you can also record a voicemail to yourself. If it's easier for you to express what is it that you wish for the next lunar month, or you can just even stand somewhere in front of your house or in a park or forest, look at the sky and just say what you want. So there are different ways, from more organized and practical and let's note it down, to just basically going in and saying out loud what you want. And that is your choice. As I said, I prefer to write it down so I have a certain record of what I wanted or wished for, and then I can actually look back and think, okay, did that actually happen? So now that you have maybe already in your head decided how you want to express your wishes or goals or intentions. I can give you a kind of a brief advice on where to start. In this modern culture, I think we have a huge tendency for writing down our goals. And new moon is a perfect time to actually set up the goals for the upcoming month. So goals are, of course, very specific, very measurable. I don't know, by the end of the month, by this and this date, I am going to go to the gym 5 times or whatever. It is very specific and you know exactly when you achieve it. But many times we set up the goals, we achieve them, and we are still not happy. And I think that's because goal without an actual intention or a purpose just for being a goal is not necessarily that fulfilling. So before you set up a goal, you should know what your general intention is. At least this is how I see it. Because then your goals will directly support your intention. So I will give you an example of how this could look like. And now I am going back to the Cancer because the new moon is in Cancer. So if you remember about all the themes that Cancer represents for this period, then you can also have a clue on what you could wish for, dream for, where your intentions can be placed. Because every season is more potent for specific set of intentions. If we talk about Cancer, this is a great season to make intentions about motherhood, either your motherhood or fixing a relationship with your mother. It is a great time to make an intention about self-nurturing or self-nourishing or being more nurturing or having a boundary with nurturing others. It is also a very good new moon to make intentions connected with emotions, with feelings, with how you want to express them, if you want to be more open, and so on, so on. From more practical down to earn things, if you want a new house, yeah, make that wish tomorrow at 0057. That's exactly the time to wish for a new home or to wish to feel more at home where you are. If you are living in a country that is not your home country, you could wish for feeling more at home. So those are the topics that you would be working with. And it could look like this. So for example, I am thinking about setting an intention that this lunar cycle, I want to initiate healing my family, my female ancestry line. Short disclosure, there have been a number of women that came before me that may not have necessarily had the easiest lives, and there was a lot of pain and suffering. And I am a true believer that we can help our ancestors by healing things in this life. So if I heal something in my life, I already have that kind of a ripple effect on the entire female ancestry line, including my daughters and the future generations to come. This is a topic I have been avoiding quite a lot because it's difficult for me. It's difficult for me to dive into those emotions. It's difficult for me to also look into the shortcomings I have that I would have to fix. But yeah, Cancer season actually just brought it to my attention, also through conversations with my best friend Marta. So it is extremely interesting that the topic just appeared. And it's also there because my mother is soon visiting me And that's also a relationship I want to heal. So my intention for this lunar cycle is that I want to initiate that healing of the female ancestry line that I'm coming from. And when you have that intention, then you can think about supporting goals. So one of those goals could be, I am going to start educating myself about the topic by reading this and this book, by taking this and this training, by this and this date. And I actually have a book. And again, I could not really get myself into reading it, into opening it. It was a gift. And I was still kind of, I found it very interesting, but there was, I did not felt compelled to do it. So my goal is going to be, one of my goals supporting this intention is going to be to actually read that book in the next 2 weeks and to learn more about how I can do it and to learn about different ways, methods I can use to start that, initiate that healing. So that's one example of how you can do it. And what can you focus on? I have a couple of more intentions, but I will, if you allow me, leave it for myself. But I can also tell you something that is a little bit more practical and not necessarily out there, like healing female ancestry line. So another thing can be something connected with my home. I absolutely love my home. I love where I live. I feel at home, at my home. But there are a couple of practical issues that we need to fix. There are a couple of repairs we need to have done. And there is also an uncluttering project that we postpone all the time. And I definitely will put an intention to love my home a little bit more because I love it. But I think, you know, I could love it just a bit more to get myself into that space when I can take care of the things that needs to be taken care of, because there is a bit of procrastination there, you know, if you have at least, a big decluttering project. You really are avoiding that because you know that you can get sink in for days into doing that. But then again, I like to see it in a way that I show love to my home and I show gratefulness towards my home by taking care of it. So that is also going to be one of my intentions. So to wrap up, anything connected with the motherhood, with your motherhood, with your mother, with you being a mom, anything connected with an ability to take care of others, anything connected with your self-nurturing capabilities, abilities, self-nourishing ones, especially if you feel tired and neglected, this is a great moment to look into that and make an intention to invite more things into your life that will nourish you and will also feed your soul, and anything connected with home and with belonging to a place, and also family ancestry lines that you know already, and of course emotions. So I hope that this was useful, actually. I know that probably in some points I have hit a woo-woo land where things get a little bit, what is she talking about? However, I think it's also good to be authentic. I am like that, so why would I hide that? And I'm a Cancer rising, so you know, I'm also very good at expressing my emotions when my Aquarius is not slapping my Cancer in the face saying to shut up. That's another story. So I really hope that you found it useful. I hope that you will make your new moon in Cancer resolutions, intentions, set up the goals. I am very curious if you did that and how did it go. So, you know, let's keep in touch. There is a way to contact me again in the show notes of this episode. So I will finish with no promises this time, because God knows when I will record another episode. But I will finish with this. Happy, happy new moon in Cancer, and have a hope and have a willingness to take a leap of faith and try to bring to this reality the things that you really need in this season. Thank you very much for today, and I will talk to you next time. Thank you.